cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to our Business Masterclass. I'm Richard Angus, CEO of the finance team, your part-time financial executive solution. Joining me in studio as part of our panel today is Safia Boulay of New Habits. Welcome, Safia.
Hi, Richard.
In the first half hour of our business skills conversation, which is brought to you in association with USB Ed, we're going to be talking about aligning business unit strategies with enterprise strategies, a little lesson in alignment and how you do that. Our guest today is Mike Gee, an expert in strategy and marketing. Mike is also a consultant and facilitator with USB Ed. So welcome, Mike. Thanks for joining with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Great. So when it comes to strategy alignment, for lots of people will say, well, do I need to worry about strategy alignment? What strategies do I have to worry about in my business? You know, you hear of things like my marketing strategy, my human resources strategy, my overall business strategy. I guess the question is, Mike, why worry about alignment of all of these things anyway? I mean, can't we just have all of these things happening in a business?
Well, you know, if you think about a very simple example, a corporate may decide that through its strategy it is going to be innovative, creative, develop new products, but the financial strategy is cut costs, take no risks.
Ooh, the end result I can see how those two might be a problem.
You immediately have no link between what you're saying at a corporate level and what your behavior is at the financial level.
Mm.
So one could have a situation where one is saying, it is, let's take the typical 3M example, that a certain percentage of their turnover every year has to come from products that they have released in the past 3 to 5 years. If you don't fund that development, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So at one level, you will be raising the flag saying, we are innovative, we're creative, we're whatever the words are that you're using, but you're not empowering the organization to behave that way. Same situation, one gets back and say, we will create an organization where our strategy is we will engage with our customers. In our marketing process, we talk about the customer experience, the quality of our engagement with the customers. In the background, there is a different strategy in how you handle the production process, how you handle your buying, your financing. And the end result is they're working at cross purposes. So it's not just corporate strategy down, it's across the silos as well.
So Mike, this sounds like common sense. It doesn't sound like rocket science.
Yeah, but it's how you measure people. Now, one of the most frustrating things I come across is you get, and it's a little bit with today's communication system, a little bit outdated, but the story used to be to a call center is when a call comes in, answer it within a few seconds and dispose of it within 1 minute, 5 minutes, and rest of it. And then you turn around and you say, we will engage and solve your problems, which takes time.
Mm-hmm.
But the metric we have in the organization to maximize the number of calls that the call center can handle is get rid of that call within 5 minutes.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky. The customer want to sit back and say, hey, I haven't had my problem solved. Sorry, we've got to get rid of you. Because otherwise I am measured wrongly. So, yes, it's not rocket science. But it does require to realize that this could take you all the way down through the organization to the point of how you measure performance.
And I think that's quite an important part of understanding that actually your alignment in your business, and let's call it your business's purpose.
Yeah.
You know, we use the word purpose sometimes a little vaguely, but you know, if the purpose of your business is to provide a particular service, ditching the customer 5 minutes or trying to ditch the customer for the 5 minute point in the call center engagement is the very last thing that you should be doing.
Absolutely.
And I mean, you've got to look at it and say, well, if my purpose is to provide a service to a customer, well, then I better make sure that my customer service engagement is aligned consistently throughout the process. And sometimes things disconnect. I mean, I've got classic examples where, you know, we say we're in a service industry, but you can't talk to anybody. you've got to email us. You've got to send us exactly. your, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, my favorite one at the moment, my friends at AfriHost. you want to talk to a technician on the other side because you've got a practical problem mm-hmm. and you discover, and their customer service engagement is, you can talk to an agent. If you wait half an hour, you can then finally talk to an agent who's a tier one service agent. However, they can't actually solve the problem for you. You need to speak to what they call their tier two person. The problem is the tier two person is not allowed to answer the phone or take a phone call. Mm-hmm. The only way you can interact with a tier two person is via a chat scenario on their, like a backwards and forwards chat scenario on their customer portal. Now, that's all fine and well, but if I need to have an interaction, especially in the world of IT on a server issue or something like that, that's a, you know, I need to talk to this person. They've got great knowledge. I have limited knowledge of what's going on and what my problem is, and I need to be able to converse. But no, they have to have a piece of technology in between the two of us, and they will not allow the common voice to be a method of communication. So in their case, they've got it badly wrong around mm-hmm. what the mm-hmm. definition of service is. And yet they hold themselves up as an example of a service organization. Now, you know, their purpose there and how they're achieving it through a process are not aligned, yeah. would be my argument. Yeah. And I think, we see this this in other environments. I had to have a good laugh. You say, well, what is the purpose of vehicle licensing to make sure that vehicles are licensed on the road? Great. You pay an annual license fee to make sure that mm-hmm. your vehicle is on the road. And you're asked for all of these details when you put your vehicle licensing together. Vehicle licensing expires at the end of a year, as we all know, or should know. you all know where this conversation is going, because when it expires, historically, the licensing department would let you know via a postal notification that your license was about to expire and you'd go and you'd renew it. Nowadays, because the postal service is so bad, we are told, they don't notify you anymore. Okay. But what I have noticed of late is that the revenue opportunity at the Metro Police areas appears to be checking for licenses. They are no longer interested in your speed, the roadworthiness of your vehicle. In fact, you can arrive at their roadblock in a totally unroadworthy vehicle, but if your license is valid, they'll let you through. Yes. No issue. And I look at this and I go, well, let me just quickly check the process that they'd got from me last year when I licensed my vehicle. I gave them my address, I gave them my cell phone number, and I gave them my email address. They could notify me via email or SMS that my license is about to expire. But they're not prepared to do that now. They haven't moved with the time. Their processes haven't moved with time. They've just said, oh, well, the post ain't working no more, or the delivery is so poor, so we're going to cut that method of communication. But we haven't replaced it with a better form of communication. And so they now create a revenue opportunity for elsewhere in the system, and everybody's happy to take their 500 buck or 1,000 rand fine or whatever it is. And I look at this and I go, well, guys, that's all fine and well, but at some point, you know, somebody's going to ask a question. And what I find absolutely amazing, having recently got one of these fines, is that
very recently,
yes. Like on the way to studio. That's why it's topical at the moment. But what I was amazed at is they asked me for my email address on the fine, as well as my cell phone number. So not only are the Metro Police that are issuing the fines collecting this very same data that they need to notify me that the license is expiring, they're collecting it when they give you the fine. So I'm going, you've got all this data, people, but you're not prepared to notify me. What's wrong with the system here?
And is your vehicle safe?
Oh, yeah, my vehicle.
But what I'm trying to say is the purpose and the strategy and the approach that they're using
are totally
disconnected completely.
Disconnected completely. So the purpose and the strategic alignment and the way the process is implemented have all kind of gone left steer and disconnected and aren't connecting at all in the bigger picture. So, yeah, I think it's really important that organizations recognize and realize that aligning all of those elements, and the reality is, while I may not be able to do anything about our friends at the licensing department, the reality is, as a South African, I have my say about what isn't being done.
Yes.
And if enough of us start having our say about what isn't being done and what needs to be done, eventually you have a groundswell, and before you know it, you have the licensing department, hashtag the licensing must fall, you know. And we all know.
Please don't.
You've got to leave Mike and me out of that.
I've got other things to do.
but I mean, effectively, that's what happens. That's how feedback happens in a system when things aren't working. But the reality is, your customer base as a business, they don't do hashtag something must fall. They just go hashtag I'm taking my business elsewhere.
Absolutely.
Okay. And that's the reality of getting that alignment wrong, is that when it goes wrong, you don't get the client coming back and saying, I think your strategy and your delivery are out of alignment.
They just don't hear from them anymore.
Well, you just don't hear from them, and not only do you not hear from them, when you look at your sales analysis or your turnover or whatever, you suddenly find that customer X, who's been with you for X number of years, is no longer on the list anymore because they've shopped elsewhere.
Mike, so I've got a slightly offside question. I'm not sure if it is appropriate or not, but...
Oh, ask it anyway.
I've worked in big businesses, I've worked in small businesses, and strategy is always a word that gets bandied around. And people often experience a sense of misalignment between what's happening in the enterprise and what's happening in the business units or the department or whatever the case might be. Whose job is strategy?
Everybody's.
So can you tell us a bit more about that?
The question, I think, needs to be understood, or I need to interpret the question.
Yeah.
Creating the strategy may be the function of people who are going to have to drive it, so let's call it the management team.
Mm-hmm.
But whose business it is, delivering it is everybody's.
Mm-hmm.
So if I do not have, if I'm somewhere in the middle of the organization, if I do not understand what the organization is trying to achieve,
mm-hmm.
genuinely trying to achieve, and I use the word genuinely carefully, if I don't understand genuinely what they're trying to achieve, I'm going to start looking at a narrower and narrower level of focus.
Mm.
I'll give you, for me, a spectacular example, and this goes back a bit in time.
More spectacular than Richard's.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It was two very large organizations on a world basis.
Okay.
And they were trading here in this company. One was a supplier of technology, and mm-hmm. the other one was, and I'm being very careful, I'm not trying not to use the something that's going to identify the business. The other one was a user of this technology. A lot of suppliers of the technology available. The first company is talking about wasn't a supplier to company two. They spent nearly 5 years trying to get into the business.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, put a package together where the customer was very happy, placed a large order,
mm-hmm.
and the contract was signed, great ceremony, the technology was delivered, and part of the terms were when the sign-off took place, then it would trigger the first invoice. Good commercial deal. 30 days after invoice, you will receive your payment. Everybody agreed with it. For internal reasons, the payment wasn't made till the 31st. 31st day.
Mm-hmm.
The chief financial officer of the customer company got a phone call from a fairly junior creditor's clerk, said, you have a bad payment record. We've closed your account.
No.
Yes. Now, clearly the collections were measured by some standard, but they had no engagement with the customer marketing service policy of the organization.
Mm.
All it required was a phone call saying, we note customer X has not paid, today's the 30th day. Phone call to the client executive and the company saying, is there a problem? not a problem. It is an issue, and I don't remember the details of the issue. But their mindset was, I'm focused on my job.
Mm.
I'm not focused on the company's job.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. The end result was that they've got a little organization. You've never seen so many people running so fast to repair a relationship.
Mm.
But it was nearly destroyed by one phone call. Now, for me, alignment says wherever I am in the organization, I understand the organization.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yes, I know I am part of marketing, production, purchasing, whatever it is. I know what my portion of the whole is, but I know the whole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so whose responsibility? It is the responsibility to be created by a team, but it is the responsibility of the team to communicate it so that the accountability can be taken by everybody.
And I think that's often that key role of leadership mm-hmm. around purpose and alignment is, you know, if everybody if everybody has got little pieces of the puzzle,
mm-hmm.
the person who creates the picture of the puzzle with all the pieces put together properly is actually your leadership team and your leadership core. And what often what makes me wonder is, you know, when we talk about the purpose of an organization and the strategy of the organization and getting this alignment to happen, often what I observe is that this is now we need somebody to come in here and do this for us. You know, let's bring in a consultant or a company and in they come. And we are going to do it's almost seen as like a, let's call it a transactional activity. It's an activity. It's a once off. We have finished this. We are now aligned. Everybody understand. We are now aligned. And, you know, tick the box. Next issue that we're going to deal with. And I kind of go, okay, so you're aligned for today.
Because half the people don't know what's been done.
Yeah, well, that's exactly my point of, you know, it's about how we go through this journey as an organization, I would say. And I mean, for me, you know, an environment where there's lack of alignment and a lack of understanding of my organizational capabilities and accountabilities is just literally a ticking time bomb in my organization. And most corporate failures that I've observed have not been, you know, where you know, things just kind of bang, one day it stops, kind of the wheels just come off. It's a slow, gradual decline that happens, and it's often a case of alignment goes askew first. And then there's, let's call it, the consequences of lack of alignment and lack of big picture and lack of understanding start happening. And it hits the customer base. It hits the staff. Eventually, it ends up in the production processes because it hits the suppliers. And then eventually, it's almost like the decay that happens in an environment. Now, I mean, what gives you the best chances of winning in this strategy alignment game, Mike, in your experience? What could you do as a business person to say, okay, this will give me a better than average chance of getting this right? What are some of those key things that you could say, hey, if you think about the following three or four or five things, maybe you'll get it right. And I know this is not an exhaustive list, and please, I'm not going to say, well, Mikey says you do the following three things and you're okay.
Mike's the expert.
Mike is the expert, yes. What are some of the key things that we should be thinking about?
I think the first thing is you've got to make sure that everybody understands why you're in business.
Mm.
And this is not about saying we're in business to make a profit. I think that is the worst answer to that question anybody could come up with. Because profit, and I know I'm treading on your toes as a CA, profit is an arithmetic concept.
Yes.
It's the difference between revenue and expense.
Mm.
And that's all. And we can change the expense merely by changing the write-off and accrual rules. What are we in business for?
Mm.
Are we in business to satisfy a customer's need for something X? Are we in business to create wonderful experiences? Disney's probably have a nice phrase for that one. What are we here for? A lady we spoke to some time ago, Melanie, who's in business for creating linens for hospitality. When we interviewed her, her purpose in business was about creating a society, a community of people, and delivering value through that to the community where she works. That's her purpose. Now, if we get that understanding throughout the organization, suddenly alignment becomes easy. So it's understand why you're in business. It's then make sure everybody understands that and understands it at a personal level. It's not some CEO standing up and saying, this is our strategy, guys, using – and the risk is that they use words that are appropriate to the boardroom. And the guy sitting back down on the machine floor says, I haven't the faintest idea what you're talking about. I cannot empathize with it because I don't know how I contribute. So communication, but communication at a level that is meaningful to the person who's listening.
Yeah. I often think of that the definition of communication is the what the person hears, not what is said.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that is just so critical when it comes to this part of the world of, well, you can say whatever you like, but alignment is what is heard, not what is said. And in fact, alignment is not just what is heard, but alignment is actually defined as what is acted upon.
What is experienced.
And experienced by others.
And that, there's that wonderful example that comes out of NASA, and I'm not sure whether it is apocryphal or not, but where this guy was asked, what's your job here? And this was a guy who was a cleaner. And his answer was, I'm helping to put a man on the moon. And he understood that cleanliness was critical for the success of the launch. Now, that is alignment at a level that is unbelievable because everybody's job at that level of thinking is about the success of the company in the way the company has defined success. Let's put a man on the moon. So to me, it's quite simple. One is full understanding what you're in business for. Purpose, you can use the nice words of strategy, strategic intent, all of these things. These are nice academic concepts. But what are you in business for? And then making sure everybody in the organization understands what their contribution should be. And it's hard work because the minute you have a new person come in the organization, you've got to spend time to make sure they understand. They can't go through a two-hour orientation and say, this is what our business is, a copy of the strategic plan to the extent we're going to communicate it and assume they know, because it's got to be part of the DNA of the organization.
So you're saying a job description is just not enough?
I think a job description is the absolute worst thing you can do to anybody. Is what's their contribution to the organization? And to make that contribution, these are some of the things you have to do. But please don't give me a shopping list of tasks. Because there's always something that you're going to be asked to do that's not on the shopping list. Because that's the world we live in. So no.
Okay. Well, I must tell you, I love that construct of, you know, job description being the worst thing, because there are others that would argue and say, well, then how do you measure people and how do you make sure that they contribute the way they should?
And find a way.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I always go, well, if you don't know this, you're not being creative enough in your solution set in your business.
And if a job description is how you measure, the moment the job changes for whatever reason, you have no measure anyway.
In today's volatile world, your job changes on a daily basis.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can't have this. It has got to be focused on what is your contribution to the success of the company, not a set of tasks. And that's a lot more difficult to articulate, but it's necessary to do.
And getting back to this concept of strategy alignment, it's about strategy alignment at business unit level, down at individual department levels, and then all the way down to the individuals. So it's about aligning them with the bigger picture and the alignment. And you know, to your NASA example, you know, I'm helping put a man on the moon. That person really understood their purpose.
Yes,
and they could then articulate that in a way that was meaningful to them, and that was, let's call it, tactical to them and tactile. You know, I'm sweeping. But this is what I'm ultimately achieving. And I think often, you know, if you were to speak to most people in business today and say, so what exactly are you doing here? they would struggle to communicate.
The why and the what for.
The why and what, yeah. The why and the what for.
Absolutely.
Now, Mike, I mean, just in closing, what are some of the things that you can do as a smaller business person, perhaps somebody with a business with a few staff members, to ensure that you get that strategic alignment to happen consistently in your business? What are some thoughts?
Your staff in a small business are your partners.
Hmm.
They're okay. There to do everything that is necessary to make the company a success. This is not about a hierarchy. A small business, 20, 25 people, even a bit larger, is a company, is a group of people who have to work together to make a success out of that. They've got to have the ability to have a conversation. You as the leader of that team need to know that you're only the leader for a certain part of the time. Other times, other people are going to be leaders because they're doing their job. So you may be the first amongst equals. It may be your business, but for heaven's sake, make sure that everybody is part and parcel of this team. And it means that you're going to have to spend time not being the boss, but being part of the organization.
I'm hearing a culture of inclusivity.
Yes.
And I'm hearing you almost quoting the lady you referred to earlier on, Melanie, empower others,
yes,
so that you can empower yourself.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Very important.
So it's not about being the boss. I think the days of that hierarchy says, I'm the boss, this is the way it's going to happen.
If it
was ever right,
yeah,
it's no longer right.
Yeah, I was going to say. So if you ever thought it was the right way to do things, we can confidently say to you, and right now, it's the wrong way to make
it. Ain't anymore.
Yeah, and it doesn't get you. And it doesn't get you anywhere in your own business and in the minds and hearts of the people that you work with.
Yeah.
And it sure ain't going to get you anywhere with your customer base,
yep,
and with your ultimate success of the business. Okay, very practical ideas there. Well, Mike, thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate your insights. We're going to get a little bit more practical up next, our SME development conversation. Stay with us. Cliffcentral.com.